Pirate's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Get in touch with me, your show host, by shooting me a text. And we got just a couple to get to here. Obviously, we'll do a quick reset here. Middle of a election cycle. There's always like one of these landmines. It had been relatively subdued up until this point. And I know that I haven't heard this anywhere, but you will. There's a Senate seat up for grabs, a United States Senate seat. And there's a lot of money involved here. These campaigns have spent copious amounts of money trying to win the seat, win this election. There's a lot of power involved in the U.S. Senate. It's not a small thing. I think if Jared Hudson were indeed in the lead, maybe this doesn't come up, but he's not. He's got the momentum, and he could ultimately be in the lead. Some of the polling has shown him in the lead. I think at some point he will gain. He will continue to gain. Will it be enough in the end? I don't know the answer to that question. It's a real race. But they're talking about military service. It's always something. Also, we're still kind of in the throes of Supreme Court mania here in Alabama. This didn't really get a lot of national attention. It did get some. It's very interesting. That Alabama goes back to the 6-1 map. That is now the Supreme Court precedent. And what the lower court's doing. But it sounds like everything's in normal working order. What we will talk about tomorrow with General Marshall, is there anything else that could happen that we would expect? And I tell you what, with the Senate brouhaha going on, I think it's overshadowing the other races. The one that's probably the most competitive will be Lieutenant Governor. Obviously, Ag Commission, but, what are we talking about there? Also, this just happened, watching it on the monitors here at the Fairhope Bureau, that John Bolton, who was charged with mishandling classified info, has pled guilty. Plea deal. $2 million fine or something of that magnitude. What the other terms are, I don't know. Blanche getting the Attorney General nomination to fill the vacancy left by Pam Bondi. That, I don't, it's not necessarily a bad thing if you're MAGA. Bad thing if you're Trump deranged. There's a lot of Trump derangement syndrome still. What does that ever end? We have to navigate that. It clouds smart people's judgment. Because Trump is for, we must find a way to say it's bad. Tim, Jeff, can you imagine how much money there was to play in these silly games? But they got to do something. I mean, there's something they got to. I mean, this is just part of the process. There's a lot of silly games. This one, you got to take serious. It just seems like military service is something people, it's very sacred. If you embellish it, if you run on it, if you politicize it, then the, you know, all the different things that pertain to it, some people will care. As I kept saying, though, is Barrymore trying to win an acquittal or an election? And there's enough wiggle room there, it sounds like to me, that this may not come up, or this may not land like maybe they want it to, but they're going to try, and we're going to talk about it. But they're, if you want to call it wasting money, that's what's going on. But like I said, there's just so much money in these Senate campaigns now. I mean, the problem with politics, it's not the money. What brings the money to politics? It's that the government does so much and there's so much power at stake that we don't have limited government. Then what happens on Capitol Hill matters. It matters to the economy. It has an outsized influence on our day-to-day lives. The money is a byproduct of that. Somebody, depending on how the election could go, will profit about on the outcome. There's appropriations. There's companies that do get government contracts. Very specialized kinds of work. Defense contractors. I mean, you know, and one vote on an NDAA could wreck somebody's Christmas. So they don't leave it to chance. But there's a whole industry of this. And it's a reality that we don't have to like it, but it's there. You can say that's what's wrong with politics. You're right, but you can't ignore it. Leo, I served 4 years active duty, 2 years inactive with an honorable discharge. If I could have quit at 2.5 years with an honorable discharge, I would have. Military service is not fun. So I have a lot of doubts about somebody claiming to be a veteran with only 2.5 years, most of which is weakened warrior status. This is not applied to someone hurt in the military. So Leo, you were the first to bring it up. And we're talking about it. We get a little pushback on this, but we are talking about it. Bardock says he was on the cutting edge once and required 8 stitches. 251-343-0106. This is a text line. If you so choose, continue to submit your text queries, and I'll do my best to respond to them. Is anybody interested in the ongoing Scott Pelley CBS feud? That Barry Weiss may be one of the most overrated people in American media, but she's not some kind of right-wing nut job. So who is Barry Weiss, you're probably asking. She kind of rose to fame. I mean, she's like a Substack, had some smart takes on some things, and then others were just kind of like cookie cutter. Seemed to be like legitimately a person somewhere in the middle. Like, not because she was striving to be a moderate, but she checks a lot of boxes, but she doesn't toe the line on liberal orthodoxies like a lot of people in the mainstream media do, who just accept conventional wisdom without question. And CBS always been the third place station. CBS This Morning, CBS Evening News, Face the Nation, have considerable viewership, but, and then way more than cable news does, but they're still behind ABC and NBC. And they were losing money. Now, 60 Minutes, when it's on its standalone on a good night, when there wasn't something else going on, it does well in the ratings. And Scott Pelley's just kind of blowhardy guy. They're a dime a dozen in that New York media market. Central casting. So he did something that was very unbecoming, I thought. Barry Weiss takes over. She brings in new talent or new people, new person to take over the 60 Minutes show. Pelley not a fan. This leaked out from Dylan Byers, so the media reporter in Washington, D.C. And Scott Pelley decided to make his final stand in this meeting. Kind of showed his rear end. That leaks out. Then 2 days later, he is fired. And there's been this back and forth. But for liberals, especially these mainstream liberal networks and websites, they're really worried about Barry Weiss. It's not as if they brought in like a Bill O'Reilly or somebody. And they tried for the sake of ratings, like the Megyn Kelly experiment on the Today Show. They've tried to bring in these personalities from the conservative world. It doesn't really work. That's not their target audience. But Barry Weiss is not that. So it's mainstream media, CBS. This is like the hill they're going to die on. And if CBS News succeeds, you're going to see, I think, a retooling. And right now, the hot ticket is just play Trump derangement syndrome. But that's not sustainable in the long term. So the media environment now, and I said this after the 24 election, look, they just have a diminished role in American politics. They threw everything they had at Donald Trump, and Republicans have the best election they've had in 20 years. The stuff that they're doing, it's not, there's no return on investment. They're very expensive. News gathering is an expensive thing you do. And the argument for that expense, it may not have a return of investment on the balance sheet. But what they say is, but we do move the needle. We matter. We matter in the general discussion. We matter when it comes to public policy. We matter when it comes to elections. And the 2024 outcome disproved that. So somebody at CBS said, why are we paying for this? And they said, we need to revamp things. And this is the direction they have gone, which has upset a lot of people, apparently. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. So if I get stoned, I'm just carrying on an old family.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Programming note, tomorrow on the show, we'll have our regulars, Todd Stacey, and our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Also on appearing on the program, we'll talk redistricting. Adam Kincaid, an expert on redistricting. Will join us, and also the Attorney General will join us briefly on the program tomorrow. So jam-packed show tomorrow. Hopefully you could tune in. Still come on this program, we'll hear from Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response to Jeff Porter's show. Mike, April said a little perturbed that Jared Hudson is making ground. Is it simply a looks like a bugs her about Jared Hudson, or is it something else? I didn't pick up on that vibe. I know she's told me she's ambivalent on this. And she's a Birmingham person, as you well know, Mike. Also, it feels like Groundhog Day. Every week, Trump say we're close to a peace deal. It may not be this weekend. Then over the weekend, lots of shots are fired. Monday comes and nothing changed. I don't disagree with that. Fellow Air Force Brad here, Barksdale, Wright-Patterson, and Altut Air Force Base, checking in. You may not agree with this comment, but I find amusing how many people with multiple Trump shirts, hats, flags, bumper stickers, probably underwear too, who knows, can accuse anyone that doesn't like Trump of having the fabricated condition of TDS. The Trump vote parade scheduled here in my neighborhood soon. I hope they're going to use sailboats, since he screwed them on gas. I don't think it's so much. I get it. A lot of people don't like Trump. There's a lot of reasons not to like Donald Trump. There are people who are like that. That's what they wake up in the morning thinking about. It's like, I don't think that this three-judge panel, for example, is a product of Trump derangement. Maybe it is, but I just think there's a measuring contest here. Somebody, probably Judge Manasco, get really irritated with the lawyers for the state, and she wants to make an example out of them. So it's like not everything is Trump derangement syndrome driven, but a lot is. It's a real thing, and it's going to work against Republicans. I believe. We'll see. Those are the, if you're motivated to go out and vote, and there are people, it's undeniable. Their primary motivation for voting is they're mad about Trump winning in 24. They're mad about the president. That's TDS. It happens with all politicians. It's just something about this president that has broken a lot of people. Good people. But they can't get past it. They won't get past it. They see his election wins as ill-gotten gains, and it is perceived to be just this injustice. It's not that he's president. This will be true when a Democrat wins. Gene. Barry isn't the problem. Ellison is. Barry Weiss on CBS News, Gene, is the one that the media are really going after. And the Media Matters and the Center for American Progress types in that realm. The liberal think tank crowd. The MSNBC pundits, the media talkers, the people who watch media and report on it for a living for left-wing outlets, they have honed their ammunition all on Barry Weiss. So, the Ellison is, you may be right about this, but for whatever reason, we're keenly focused on her. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
What I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord.
back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, or what's left of it. Still some time if you want to try to get in on the program, 251-343-0106. Text line, that's how you interact with the program. And always appreciate the feedback. Joining us now, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porter Show, we have Parker Griffith, former congressman for the 5th Congressional District, the official Democrat response, as I said. Congressman, how are you?
Jeff, we're doing well up here in the North Country. It's a beautiful day. It's sunshiny. The rain has stopped. The corn is 4 or 5 feet high. And the beans are coming up, and everything is fine. It's a beautiful day. It's not pleasant for the farmers up here. The cost of farming has gotten pretty high, and I'm sure all over the United States the price of diesel and gasoline are getting people's attention. So. And we've got all sorts of drama going on with we've got our Ayatollah in the White House,
and here we go.
They got their Ayatollah in Iran, and we're sending the B team over to negotiate. So the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. The big three, the big oil companies, are telling us that. Those countries that are short on gasoline, refined products, are going to be bidding up the price, and that we can expect not a reduction in the cost of transportation for groceries and farm equipment, et cetera, but we can expect an increase in price. And it's not sitting well. I mean, you can see that Trump's polling, he's now the he's never been lower, and he doesn't know what to do. And I think that's a classic Trump move. You know, all his life he's been able to buy himself out of trouble, or just walk away from a deal and bankrupt. But he can't do that here.
Well, I got a call from somebody yesterday, and I mean, I'm not quite into derogatory terms that you did just there. But when it comes to the Iran strikes, did they really think this through? Did they think, okay, and it's like, so this gentleman who's very knowledgeable about this stuff. So, well, they war game this stuff all the time, Jeff. Like, you, what you understand, like, the War College talks about all this, and they look at every scenario, 100 different ways that every aspect has been considered. But what I say is, I maybe on the ground, maybe from a military standpoint, but there is a political reality here that I'm not sure that they were anticipating. That, okay, we know that they could interfere with the Strait of Hormuz. We know that would have some kind of economic impact, and I think that's where it kind of stopped, because from that point forward, well, if you start kind of toying with the economy, and I would have argued, before this was even a thing, the economy really needed to take off for Republicans to have a fighting chance in November, and it really hasn't, not in the way that it did during Trump's first term, but that they didn't really think through the political reality and the fallout from that, it's gas prices, it's all the inputs, it's everything you need at the grocery store. It's that where maybe there was a bit of an oversight, and that it is going to result at this point in time. And it's June, November is around the corner. It is going to hurt Republicans in their election shots.
I think you're absolutely right. I think Carville years ago, when he was running Clinton's, it's the economy, stupid. America responds to its pocketbook. I mean, they can say their platitudes. We believe in democracy, and we believe in free markets, and we believe this, and we believe that. What they believe is, how are they doing at the kitchen table? How are they doing in their savings, how are they doing raising their children and buying food, et cetera. That's what's going to kill the Republicans. It's not a mystery. And they may have thought it through and considered every angle, but Trump has fired and gotten rid of every competent individual who he has had in his cabinet. Nobody has lasted. You cannot run a government or a business or a family if you are changing out all the key players and they're all uneasy about telling the truth. We got a guy testifying in Congress right now that it's okay for the Congress to say that the IRS cannot audit the president, that he cannot be audited. Now, your listeners are my friends who are not happy with paying taxes anyway, are looking at a president that says, not only am I going to do what I want to do with immunity, but I'm not going to allow the IRS to ever audit my children, my business, et cetera.
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, they leaked his tax return, somehow got out there, wound up on Rachel Maddow's show. That's something that's supposed to be off limits. Maybe a moratorium on auditing was not appropriate, but the fact that had happened is a product of some bad behavior from some people during the first presidency.
Well, and if you've ever been sued, and I have, a judge can release your tax returns, can force you to turn them over. This is silly talk coming out of D.C.
Well, a judge can do it, but the IRS on its own cannot.
Well, somebody did it illegally, I think.
That's the point. So if it's done illegally and it's done without a justified cause, is Trump entitled to something? I mean, I don't know that necessarily this outcome and the settlement was deserved but a judge approved it. And well, we can quibble about it as fine, but when you look at it, there was something untoward going on there.
There was, but what's amusing to me is Trump playing the victim. That is incredible.
He was the victim.
And he's always been the victim, and it's always been somebody else's fault. He's never been accountable. He just had four Republicans vote against him on a War Powers Act.
But on this particular one, the victim thing is absolutely applicable.
Well, okay. So somebody leaked his tax returns.
I find that to be an invasion of privacy.
Of course it is. Of course. But Trump is so devoid of morality.
This moral equivalency stuff doesn't work, Congressman. Two wrongs can't make a right. Trump may be the awfulest human being, but we have to have our institutions respect the rule of law or everything collapses.
Okay. And you've got somebody in the White House that is basically giving the finger to the judicial system and to the congressional system. And he has walked right over them. And the spineless Republicans have refused to admonish him because they're afraid that he'll run someone against them. And he's already attacking these four people, these four Republicans, all white males. He's already attacking them for voting with the Democrats to restrain him from continuing a war without their approval in Iran. And the very idea that this war is going into its second, third month after he said it was going to be over in a week, same thing he said.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about this. We can't be playing this rope-a-dope thing where on Thursday, Friday, hey, we're this close to a peace agreement. Then by Sunday, it's escalated.
I know.
Because what the president says matters. Now, I know everything is art of the deal, but to me, on this one, I mean, I can't take issue with it because he's got to the messaging here is not accurate. And I don't want to say he's lying, but I don't think it's, you know, whatever he's being told and whatever the messaging is not reality.
No, I don't think he's lying. Trump is like I grew up down there in the New Orleans area. He reminds me of the guys that stand out in front of the strip clubs, getting people to come in. And it doesn't make any difference who's in there performing. They're always the best, the greatest, and come in and see the girls, and you won't believe what's going on. That's what Trump does every day. He's not really lying. He's just
But this is politics. He just does it.
He's a salesman. It's the art of the deal.
Yeah. He won the popular vote. He beat, and you know, the Democrats didn't really put up a good candidate. But he's the he's the president now, and yes, we voted for him, and it's sort of our system. And I get it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things Trump should be doing better. The Iran war is a puzzle to me. But I would wish is just a real kind of, we don't have to paint the most doom and gloomiest scenario, but just say, hey, we're working on a solution. We don't know. The Iranians are unpredictable. They will tell you one thing one day, and then they will go. They will turn around and do something different the next day.
Jeff, that's what I'm telling you. Trump is exactly like the Iranians. The Iranians don't believe Trump, and Trump doesn't believe the Iranians, and neither one of them has ever told the truth. I mean, Trump has never told the truth.
Are we just going to be in this perpetual state of, like, both sides lying to each other, and it'll go on until the presidency is over?
Well, we're beginning to see some cracks in the Republicans, because this war has absolutely devastated. In Alabama, this is a poor state. These are hardworking people. These are people that will drive 20, 30 miles one way to work. And this tax, this gasoline going from $3 last year a gallon to $4 now, is a major tax on families that are making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year working there. You know,
you're not wrong. I want to get to this real quick, because we just got a few minutes here.
Yeah.
Supreme Court, the congressional lines in Alabama. I never thought, I didn't know how long it would go on, but I never thought this Voting Rights Act gerrymandering thing that's been in place was going to last forever. I think Democrats are upset about it, rightfully so, but they got to move on from it. They got to start winning in the arena of ideas and not on technicalities.
Yes. Now, I happen to agree with you about that, and it's not going to be very popular with some of my friends, but If the voting turnout is only 20% of eligible voters, and we're whining about how they're drawing the districts based on race, at some point in time, America has got to get away from race-based politics, race-based voting, race-based this, that, and the other. We saw it in its extremes in certain admission standards at certain colleges and professional schools. It just got crazy. We started using quotas, and we started using race and sex and gender, and it just
and whatever you think about all of that is and I think you're right about it, but the point I'm trying to make is, like, it's not a system that is built for the long, for the long term. And for Democrats to kind of build their foundation on this system that I think was going to be, you know, eradicated at some point, that we were not going to live by one standard while other states lived by other standards in perpetuity, they won't move on from that. They're starting to show some signs of life in the Democratic Party in Alabama, but you're never going to go back to what it used to be with the Voting Rights Act.
No, we're not, and we shouldn't go back.
we should not go back. I think America is old enough now, you know, since 2.5 centuries, to get to the point where, yeah, we're a mixing bowl. We got all sorts of diversity and races and et cetera. And we're going to have to use what our founding fathers gave us to change if we won't change, and that's the ballot box. And it can't be changed because of race. And I think that's where we're going, and that's where we need to go. And the Democrats are going to just have to get over it. And if we had serious, both white and black, both Republican and Democratic leadership in this state, we would be a lot better off. But we have dumbed down our leadership to the point where we've got a Tuberville running for governor. We have no black leadership whatsoever. Randy Kelly, who is the chair of the Democratic Party, is not a leader. He's ineffective, intellectually challenged. Joe Reed, who's aging out, who runs the party, is not well thought of. And we look at the Republicans, and the Republicans are just pitiful in their inability to see through Trump and do what's right for the people of Alabama. I mean, healthcare is right. Challenging every business.
Congressman, we're out of time here, but hey, thanks for hopping on a short notice.
I got you, man.
All right. Former Congressman Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poore Show. We got to get a break here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Just what I had. But honey, now I
get on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham. Ooh, Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on what's left of this Thursday morning. Tomorrow, we'll wrap up the week. Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News. Steve Marshall, Attorney General from the state of Alabama. Adam Kincaid with redistricting. We'll talk redistricting with him. He seems to have a good understanding, not just of Alabama, what's going on around the country. And we'll wrap it up with State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So hopefully you can tune in for that. As always, Parker Griffith draws a lot of text. Can we say meemaw is a bad case of Biden syndrome, or is it polite to discuss old competent women in that way? Scott, you've got to even throw in the ropes, go for the KO. Unnamed texter Parker, typical TDS. Unnamed texter Jeff, as a 35-year police veteran, putting Parker on is bordering on elder abuse, and ask him how many people of color work for him and his family. Scott says the guy is delusional. Jason, nice job putting you back on Parker Day. It's always interesting to hear from the party of killing babies talk about Trump's immorality. Ultra Runner, Parker's so misguided, but I can't help but like the guy. Keep him. Summerdale Tony, I think old Parker has outlived his usefulness as far as the Democrat response for Jeff, period. He's just stuttering and gasping, trying to figure out what to say, period. And then finally, Joe, Parker never disappoints. Classic TDS. The Ayatollah, to kick it off there, remarks are a little much. But anyway, we have him on. When a few Democrats will come on this program, and we can discuss freely whatever it is that's on his mind. Well, that's it for me. I have to get out of here. Make way for Midday Mobile. Sean Bill will be here in just a few minutes. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. Once again, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.